First reading is from Isaiah chapter 52. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who publishes peace, who brings good news of happiness, who publishes salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. The voice of your watchmen, they lift up their voice. Together they sing for joy. For eye to eye, they see the return of the Lord to Zion. Break forth into singing, you waste places of Jerusalem. For the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord has bared his holy arm before the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Hebrews chapter 1. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom he also created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. For to which of the angels did God ever say, you are my son, today I have begotten you? Or again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he brings the firstborn into the world, he says, let all God's angels worship him. This is the word of the Lord. Our gospel lesson is from John 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything that was made made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness, to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace to you in peace this Christmas morning from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The picture of the gospel in Isaiah is one that anyone up until the nuclear age would have recognized. It's a picture from a city at war. Its army and its navy are out, and they have met the enemy. And they have met them not in some delaying movement or a minor skirmish, but this is the final battle. Marathon, Megiddo, Waterloo, Yorktown, Gettysburg. Those left in the city attempt to go about their lives, but they know that their lives are being decided right now. They are waiting for the runner to appear in the distance. And that runner only has two possible messages. Either the army has been destroyed, and nothing stands between the city and the enemy. Nothing stands between the enemy raping and pillaging and the slavery that will follow. Or victory has been won, and the enemy has been routed. All you can do is wait until the watchmen spot the runner, and wait until they see what he's carrying. The nuclear bomb and mutually assured destruction changed all of that for us. In our world, even if you lost the decisive battle, the enemy would not come and plunder because the loser can still destroy the world 10 times over with a dead man switch. The victor might still worry about that ultimate response. And so, as much as I remember celebrating the collapse of the Berlin Wall, the next couple of years were a little unnerving, wondering just who had the former Soviet Union's missiles. The Cold War wasn't great, but it was stable. I spent some time trying to think of a modern collective all-or-nothing moment, but I couldn't. I couldn't really come up with one. Hollywood used to make some of them up. The Bruce Willis flick Armageddon, with the world hanging on the news of a team of roughnecks diverting an asteroid. Independence Day, with everyone waiting to hear if the computer virus had taken down the alien shields. But both of those tell you something, that the collective waiting is now part of outrageous sci-fi. We live in a world where everyone has their own separate piece, a world of mutually assured destruction. We can't help but extrapolate from our material existence to a little spiritual reality. And I think it might be one of Satan's most effective lies, that in the warfare between God and Satan, he wants us to think that it's a cold war, that both sides are roughly equal, that there is some type of spiritual mad. That's what Satan wants us to think, that God has strategically abandoned us, that humans are the equivalent of Taiwan or Eastern Ukraine, covered by the great power's promises, but that great power isn't looking so great. Satan is lying. It isn't close to the truth. Just like the Soviet Union wasn't close to an actual competitor in the Cold War. It only looked that way until the day we all woke up and the Potemkin village had collapsed. And that's all Satan has, because he's lost. He reached for the king with all of the might of all of his weapons. The religious leaders called him a blasphemer. The state proclaimed him an insurrectionist, and they killed him. And after that, the king had not lifted an arm in his defense. When the smoke cleared on Easter morning, he stood. For all of our fears of Armageddon, final battle, it's already over. And it wasn't close. It's actually only all of one verse in Revelation. Satan has assembled his horde in front of the city, and their number is like the sands of the sea. But fire came down from heaven and consumed them. And the devil, and who had deceived them, was thrown into the lake of fire. One verse and it's over. All idols then shall perish, and Satan's lying cease. Christ shall raise his scepter, decreeing endless peace. Christmas is the proclamation that it's over. The Lord has bared his holy arm before the eyes of all nations. And all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of God. The one who made it all according to his wisdom has become flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory. The angels announced what this was. God, glory to God in the highest. Peace on earth. For eye to eye, they see the return of the Lord to Zion. And what has the coming of the Lord brought to those who sit in darkness? The Lord has comforted his people. If you live in war and a maze of lies long enough, you're going to have what we call PTSD. But God himself is our shepherd, who leads us into green pastures, beside still waters, who restores our souls. Like Mary rocking the Christ child, God comforts his people who have come out of the tribulation. He has redeemed Jerusalem, a city that was abandoned, that was given over to waste places, has been brought back from her exile. The city that stoned the prophets and refused to be gathered has been purchased back anyway. The city that crucified her king and sided with the liar has been visited with grace. Its temple will never be smashed again because the Lord is her temple. Her gates will never be broken again. And the announcement of the watchman is peace. The king has returned to do away with the lying usurper. A general pardon has been announced to all who might have been caught up in the lies. The Lord is not at war with mankind and never was. Unlike the liar who fooled Eve into thinking that God was just trying to keep us down, God has always been for us. The Lord has become incarnate, sharing our flesh, knowing our infirmities, and carrying our guilt, buying for us an eternal peace with the Father of all. Hear, O Zion, your God reigns now and forevermore. And of the increase of his government and of peace, there shall be no end. Comfort, peace, and redemption. What's the response? Lift up your voices. Together sing for joy. Break forth together into singing, you waste places of Jerusalem. Not everyone accepts the comfort. There are always bitter enders in warfare. Many would rather say that we have never been slaves than accept redemption. But to all who do receive it, who believe in his name, he has made you children of God. And he's given you a voice. It's not a separate piece. The only soloist is the Christ child. But together, break forth into singing. The eyes of all nations have seen him. The ends of the earth have heard the proclamation. Together, sing for joy with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven. Sing his most glorious name. For today, the poor have the good news proclaimed to them. Amen.